Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I'd like to call the Tuesday, September 24th, 2019 Dairy Township Board of Supervisors meeting to order. Everyone, please rise to the floor.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chris, would you please do the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Sabuda?
Here.
Supervisor Weir?
Here.
Supervisor Court? Supervisor Engel?
Here.
And Supervisor Moyer? Four present, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Public announcement, although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape and record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. And I wanted to, thank you, Mark, wanted to announce that the board met in executive session before the meeting this evening. Our next item on the agenda, visitor and public comments. Members of the public are welcome to come forward and make any public comments. Please keep your comments limited to 3 minutes.
Dennis Trump, 2010 Lucas Lane, Homestown. With the western development expansion of Dairy Township, traffic's going to continue to increase on Milltown Road. It has been also increasing with commercial transportation as a result of Norfolk and Southern's intermodal expansion at its Rutherford facilities just north of 322 in Swatara Township. It will have a lot of interaction with the FedEx and other facilities along 283. For decades past, previous supervisors have proposed a bypass to Milltown Road. The timing is now opportune for this board to interact with the state representatives. It will serve the township in that there is land still in existence for such a bypass just west of the Swatara Creek that will soon be under expanded development, and before that passes, much as it has now passed in Dairy Township, I wish to encourage this board to work with local, county, state representatives to pursue a bypass, because this township has future plans that are expanding growth and transportation needs and facility needs. And I may address further that in the second comment period, but I want to take this opportunity to make sure that serious thought is given to an actual bypass that may be located outside the township. At this point, Fiddler's Elbow is the next closest, but it would have problems as well. It would benefit Swatara Township, and case could be made, and you can score points for Dairy Township in working somewhat outside the box to the benefit of Dairy Township, but also the benefit of surrounding townships. With that, I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trout. Anyone else?
Just to keep it on the record, keep moving, has there been any update in regard to discussion in executive session or forming a committee to investigate and inquire about the entertainment tax here in Hershey at this time? I asked the question 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to continue asking until we get some feedback, because right now we're looking at increasing taxes, development of the community, and I think the entertainment is the next road to go. I think they need to contribute back to to the community. Thank you. And so if you want to comment, I'd like to hear what action has been done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Hi, good evening. Nevin Yost. I was here 4 or 5 weeks ago and had mentioned the speed at which cars travel down West Arriba. I think the chief had noted that they would begin monitoring. I was just here to ask if there's been any updates to the monitoring or any action that's been, you know, put in place to address the speed at which cars travel. They travel with complete disregard for the speed limit, which I do believe is 25, but as I've walked up and down all of the east-west streets, with maybe the exception of Elm, there are no speed limit signs. So I'm not actually sure what the speed is on some of the streets. I believe it's 25 miles an hour. But during morning rush hour and evening rush hour, it's without a doubt cars are traveling 50, maybe 60 miles an hour between Hawkersville and Orchard on West Arriba, because there is sort of it's a little extra bit of length there, so I think that they rev up the hill and they continue that speed. I have a two-year-old. There are a number of other toddlers on the street. As anyone here knows that has had children, two-year-olds do the opposite when you ask them to stop running. So God forbid any of them will run onto the street. A 25 mile an hour car may be able to hit the brakes, but a 50 or 60 is not. And I'm very concerned that I always make sure my front door's locked. But it is a real safety concern. I'm just curious to know if there's been any updates to monitoring. I do believe I saw a box attached to one of the signs outside. I'm not sure if there's been any updates there. But again, total disregard for the speed limit. If it is 25, it would be nice to have some signage. That's all I had. So curious to know when the updates are, how I would find out if there are updates.
Well, Garth, do you want to comment on this? I think I know the answer to the speed limit, but you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so most all the residential area streets in town are 25, like you said, with the exception of Elm Avenue, which is posted differently. We can definitely take a look at the signage along there. The gray box that you saw was our stat track device. So we did get some data. I'd probably like to go over it with the board prior to giving any type of report. Lieutenant Freed just gave me those figures. I think that was yesterday or the day before. Just a perusal of it, I'd say over a 4-day period that they might have been up, between that around that 50 mile per hour range and so forth, maybe a few cars out of, I think there's like maybe 1,000 that go down that road every day.
Yeah.
So it could be a perception issue.
Sure.
And maybe that's something that...
It's definitely not 25, though.
So the 85th percentile, which means what the majority of the motorists are traveling, is between 30 and 35. So it's over the 25. As far as enforcement, we're limited. If you follow anything on our enforcement activities, we're limited by the devices we can use. Right now, Pennsylvania is the only state that can't use radar.
Sure.
So we're limited to what we can use for our speed timing devices. And the speed timing devices that we use right now, we have to give 10 miles per hour of the speed limit before we can actually enforce.
Right.
So we can write out warnings with the tickets themselves.
I just one follow-up question for you. Is it, and I don't know what the policies are, but are you allowed to release the data that you collected?
We can in some form. It's a lot of it's raw data,
mm-hmm.
So I'd like to probably put it into a summary.
Sure.
Once we formulate that we can look at doing that. Right. To go over it with the board first.
Sure. Thank you.
Just get their blessing on it.
Yeah, it's Nathan, right?
Nevin,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, this is no surprise to any of us.
Sure.
As we all find ways to get through the town when there's event traffic and things like that. So we know there are reasons.
And I'm not trying to turn it into I just worry about the speeds. I stood out there today, and cars fly. They're definitely going over the speed limit, so.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on and saying something about that.
Dan Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road. I just have a follow-up question to the gentleman back there. Have we considered speed tables on any of these high traffic, you know what I mean?
I'm familiar with it. There's different traffic calming measures and things like that. Yeah. There's speed humps, speed tables, raised intersections, things
like that. The speed bumps is kind of an annoyance, but there's speed tables out on a road outside Elizabethtown. And if you go much over the speed limit, you bottom out. I mean, they really work to keep the speed down.
One of the issues is, not so much in the summertime, but in the wintertime, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, is hard and fast road obstructions or impediment speed control devices present problems for plows and things like that. I don't know whether, you know, speed tables are our problem or not, but I know
what they are and how they're installed.
Yeah, I know speed bumps can really cause problems with snow plows and stuff, but that's a really great point that perhaps we can implement some sort of hard measures on some of these roads.
Very good. Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Next item on the agenda is adoption of minutes for September 10th, 2019. Is there any questions or comments on those minutes? Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zmuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those minutes are approved. On to new business. First item, A1, financing update for the Dairy Township Community Center project. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We thought it was important to bring before the board this evening an update on the financing for the upcoming community center project. Here this evening is Lou Verdelli from RBC and Ben Kapenstein from PFM. They are part of our township's finance team. They would like to provide you with a presentation. They did provide some hard copies. We do have it available for the screen tonight as well. They would like to give you an overview of what their thoughts are as this project is beginning to unfold. They would be looking for board authorization at the next meeting on October 8th for a parameters ordinance, which is no different than anything that we've done so far this year for all the different borrowings. But we felt it was important because this project is much larger than we've been dealing with to get their thoughts on that as we begin to move forward.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for having us. So I'm going to preface everything that things are still kind of in illustrative mode. We don't have the bids, the rebid back yet for the recreation center. So things are going to change, but we wanted to come here tonight and just kind of give you an update on what the plan is shaping into and get any questions answered that you have at this point. So we have a handout, the one with the yellow cover. If everybody turns to page one, we'll get started with bullet point one. So obviously the financing plan goals, the township's looking to finance the Dairy Township Community Center. We've been doing a lot of work on this over the past couple of years. It's now come to a point where it's almost time to start undertaking the financings and start the project. The township is, as everybody knows, fundraising as well. There's a capital campaign underway, which I hear is doing pretty well, which is great. Also in recent months, the township has been awarded a RACP grant, which is new news, which is great. Reduces the amount that we need to borrow, and that's going to be reflected in the numbers that we have here today. And the numbers are right here. So if you look under number two, you can see that the estimated cost of the community center, we have at $33.5 million. We kept everything rounded here, so I think there was a couple dollars here and there difference to what we saw last time. We subtracted out of that the funds that have already been borrowed, about $2 million, as well as the RACP grant, which is, again, new to our analysis, so that's great, another $2 million. And then the capital campaign funds on hand. For illustrative purposes, we have $500,000 in there. I think it's actually a little bit more than that at this point, and anticipated to be a lot more than that at some point in the next couple years. The notes down there are important. The first note is everything is subject to change, obviously. We haven't bid the project, as I said. When we do, these will all get updated. And the second point is that the township is continuing to raise those capital campaign funds. As they come in, those funds will be used to either reduce the borrowing size or pay down debt if the borrowings have already occurred. So I just wanted to note that this analysis could get better as those capital campaign funds come in.
Ben, sorry to interrupt, but let me just clarify that there's much larger commitments, right?
Yes.
Multi-year commitments.
Correct.
It's just that we can only count the cash that we...
Correct. Yeah, so and as those commitments become real in later years, we'll use those to pay down the debt. Say in year four, we'll use whatever we bring in to pay down the debt. So as Chris kind of set it up for us, the maximum parameters ordinance is what's going to be in front of the board on October 8th, in 2 weeks. This is the same ordinance and same plan that we've used in previous borrowings. Basically, it gives us the flexibility to price the bonds on a date that's not the board meeting date. If you don't do a maximum parameters, we have to price it on a date that you guys meet. And that can be bad because sometimes the market's not good the days that you meet. So if there's things happening, say there's some China trade talk and the market's terrible and we don't have a maximum parameters in place, we'll have to price on that day or extend it, and then we have interest rate risk. So really in today's market, pretty much everybody's doing maximum parameters. What it means is the state requires that you set up the maximum amount, so the maximum borrowing amount, the maximum interest rates, as well as a few other things. And then later on, when we actually do the borrowing, whatever's not used in the maximum parameters is then reduced and taken off your debt statement. So it's kind of, it's just for flexibility, it's just to set it up. The third point there is just to show that the last issue that we did, the series of 2019, the maximum parameters was for 6.5 million. We only issued 5.1. So it just shows you kind of the difference in what you're gonna see next week, which is gonna be higher than the amount up there. It's gonna be about 40 million probably. And it's just to create extra space for structure, flexibility and pricing. And again, it's just the parameters. We're only gonna borrow what's needed for the community center. So next is the timeline. There's a lot of stuff on the timeline. There's a lot of moving pieces with this, but we're gonna focus on kind of just the next couple dates. So obviously tonight we're giving an update. October 8th is the important meeting. Next time, that's when the parameters approval will be in front of the board. Shortly after that, we will file with the state, and that'll begin the whole process of undertaking the borrowings, and we're gonna get into the plan next. There's a lot of different dates. I'm not gonna go through every date on here. Another key date is December 3rd, which is when the township is targeting to get their project bids awarded. So that's the date that we'll know the actual numbers, what we need to borrow. And obviously the borrowing for the new money would take place after December 3rd, because then we'll know how much we need to borrow. We can skip this page. This is the page we've seen every time we come. It's just your existing debt summary. And this is really the important page here. So this is kind of the plan as it's laid out currently. And there's a lot of information on here, but we'll walk through it. Basically, right now, we're looking at three different issues. Starting left to right in the blue, the first issue is a restructuring. So this issue is to create some debt service space for the partial termination of the hedge. And basically, all we're doing here is, you can see the negative numbers up front, 19 and 20. We're creating room in there to make that partial termination payment. So that's the restructuring. That's gonna happen relatively soon. We're gonna settle on that November 14th. So that'll be the first thing to happen. The second one is in the red. That's the Series B of 2019. Right now we have that as borrowing half of the amount of new money that we need. So the total amount that we're estimating we need right now is 29 million. There we're gonna get a construction fund deposit of 14.5 million. You can see we're using some capitalized interest in there as well. The capitalized interest is basically to kind of work our way into the debt service. It's used during the construction period as a way to kind of work the debt service in, as I said. In column 8, you can see that's the new payments that are going to be added with the new money, the first portion. The green, the series of 2020, very similar. So right now we have this pegged for September of 2020. That could change. The timing of this is basically based on the draws for construction. We don't really know the draws for construction yet, so when that draw schedule gets established, we can make changes to the timing of this plan. But right now, the green borrows the other half, the $14.5 million, so it's kind of the cleanup issue. There's also a little bit of capitalized interest in that. And then column 9 is the additional debt service in 2020. The important column, column 10, is what your ending debt service looks like after everything's done. And you can see that it kind of works up to your, what we call the run rate of $3.4 million. We checked this against what we've looked at before. Things look a little bit better now, and it's because of the RACP. So taking $2 million off the borrowing helps a lot, and it brings down the debt service and the run rate to about $3.4 million based on where we're at today. Obviously, as things change, we're going to update the numbers. We'll be back later on December 3rd after you get the actual award to make sure that we give you the detailed numbers of what will we borrow. So that's kind of the plan. Lou, anything you want to add?
Maybe just two items, and that's to reiterate what Ben said about the parameters. Obviously, that is just what we've done in the past. It kind of gives the flexibility to the team, but there would not be any action, any bond sales in any amount until the board directs Mr. Christman to tell the financing team what to do. So obviously, we're outlining a schedule that starts with October 8th, but any financing for the community center building obviously isn't happening until you tell us to do that. So I wanted to reiterate that. And then just the second thing on the way Ben has this laid out right now, some of this is still subject to change depending on what's happening with interest rates when we get to the end of the year. Some of it will depend on what does your construction draw schedule look like. This plan is really just meant to layer that debt service in over the next couple of budgets so it's not hitting next year's budget in total. And I think that's best seen when you look at column 10, those first couple of years. By staggering these issues, it allows that debt service to come in over multiple budgets, thereby kind of easing it into future debt service budgets.
Ben, is it possible to scroll down
the
bar graph on them? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so just for people that like to look at graphs or pictures, because I'm one of them, I put together this graph. And really what it does is it just kind of layers on all the different things we're doing. So the gray right there is the unrefunded debt service. The blue is the Series A restructuring. The red is the first new money. The green is the second new money. And you can see how they kind of just layer on top and they get up to that level run rate of about $3.4 million. And then the black dotted line there, that's where your debt service is today with nothing, no changes to it. So you can see the difference to it.
So that's the dotted line is basically our baseline right now.
That's where you're at right now, correct. Yes. So everything above that is related to the new borrowings.
Okay. Ben, do you remember what the run rate was in what we've been looking in the capital plan that we've been looking at every budget cycle?
It's been anywhere from like 3.4 to 3.6, I believe.
Okay.
It's fluctuated just depending on, you know, structure, how much we're borrowing. Now that we're borrowing the 33.5, we chose the 35 meter option. And we also have the RACP grant. So things have moved around a little bit, but basically we're still in the same place we've been. As I said, things look a little bit better. So when you put these new numbers into your overall budget plan, which is what you guys look at, things look a little bit better. So, you know, there's a plan to do the tax increase of 0.25 in 2020. Now what's gonna happen is when you do that tax increase, there's gonna be a little bit more surplus every year than we originally anticipated. And that's just due to, the RACP is the big driver of that. Borrowing $2 million less, frees up some money in there, a little bit more surplus. So it's good news.
This information is being presented to the board this evening because because Act 205 requires each pension plan to inform the governing board of the plan's expected financial obligation for the following year by September 30th. The projected MMO for both pension plans for 2020 is $1,510,139. This projection is expected to be offset by state aid reimbursed at approximately $645,000. If received, the actual cost of funding the plan will be $865,139. There is no motion required for this agenda item. I just needed to make the board aware of the financial obligation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any thoughts or comments for Cheryl? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to our next agenda item. Reduction of performance security provided for the stormwater management plan for 739 Fishburne Road.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chairman.
Thank you,
So this is for the A to Z Realty property that's part of the daycare there on Fishburne Road. They've supplied performance security for the stormwater system in the amount of $9,260. HRG performed an inspection and provided a written recommendation that $7,550 is eligible for release. If approved by the board, the new balance of the security would be $1,710. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release.
Thank you, Chuck. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Smuda, second. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on our agenda is board correspondence. I'll start with you, Rick.
No, I have nothing.
I have nothing.
Okay. The only thing I will add relative to the transportation item brought up is that we did have a transportation meeting this morning, and it was the better part of
3 hours.
3 hours. Yeah. And so every month we talk about issues like Arriva, and so many department heads are there that can affect changes with transportation. So we had that meeting this morning. So that occurs every month. And so things like Arriva will be discussed at the next meeting, I'm sure. So that's all I have.
I got some correspondence regarding some construction vehicle traffic on Cedar Avenue. And I was wondering if we should or could possibly address some of that.
Well, it's almost, and we did not stage this. That came up this morning.
Oh, did it?
Yes. And okay. And our representative from AG&R was there.
Okay.
And so he's going to reach out to the contractor. And apparently most of this, we believe that's from Phil that was being brought into the Hershey Park project. But there are other items, you know, obviously that construction project is ongoing and he's going to do his best to not only get the word out to limit the speed, but get trucks to use other routes.
Right, and what wasn't just the trucks, it was the speed of the trucks as well, to your point.
Yeah.
They seem to be going a little fast. So that's great news. If we could, you know, make arrangements for that and make them aware of the sensitivity, that would be very, very good.
They're well aware.
Okay.
They're good partners with us right now.
Great.
But he meant the person who wrote the email.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Chris, you want to go now or at the very end?
I have no comments.
You have no comments? Or at the end. Okay, very good. Go ahead. Nathan from the police department.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. David?
Just a quick update. The truck is on time for its delivery, and hopefully by the end of our next meeting, I'll have some photos of you can see the production of the truck.
Excellent. Thank you. Tom?
Just that if you haven't been on Sand Hill Road in the last week and a half, you maybe want to take a drive up through there. That was paved Friday a week ago and lined. So that's all complete. And following that, we went into Hillcrest. So we paved three streets in Hillcrest Development, which is to the left just off of Sand Hill Road there.
Wow. I did drive Sand Hill. It was great. It's wonderful. I do want to go into Hillcrest because some of those roads were in pretty bad condition. And also wanted to thank you for the crosswalks on Elm, for the second crosswalk.
I you might want to pay attention over the winter to the lines. Excuse me. We used thermoplastic on Bullfrog and Sand Hill Road instead of normal paint because the paint wears so quickly on new asphalt with the salt and the anti-skid over the winter. So we tried thermo for the long line there, which is basically melted plastic. We'll see what kind of life expectancy we get from that. Better visibility, hopefully.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Good. Laura?
If I could, that's okay. And Laura, I didn't want to steal any of your thunder. Tom, the library board met, and I just wanted to publicly state that the work that Public Works crew does on the library is outstanding. Your responsiveness is second to none, and you're constantly on top of things. And it reflects really well on the entire township to have that sort of ground maintenance done on a routine basis by your crew. So kudos to everybody on the team and you for being so diligent and so thorough in what you do.
I'll pass it on.
Laura, was that it? You didn't have anything?
Sorry.
Oh, what's that?
Mark took it.
Come on, you passed.
Cheryl, anything?
Just to make the board aware that within the last week or so, we did receive our 2019 state aid for the pensions, and it was about $681,000.
Wonderful, thank you. Matt?
Just quickly encourage everyone to check out the Parks and Recreation newsletter on our website. We have a lot of things going on this fall. Just a couple highlights. We have a bus trip to the PA Grand Canyon for fall foliage on October 13th. Of course, the board approved the annual Halloween parade, which will be October 15th. We also have our Shank Park Halloween program scheduled for Saturday, October 26th at Shank Park. It's a great event. It keeps getting bigger every year. And our 34th annual Winter Arts and Crafts Show at the high school on November 2nd. So they're just highlights, a lot going on. I encourage everyone to take a look at all the offerings.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Matt Bonanno, HRD.
Yeah, I just want to update the board on some stormwater work that the county has looked into. There was a survey done by Tri-County Regional Planning Commission earlier this year, sent out to the 40 Dauphin County municipalities. The results came back where 27 out of the 40 responded. And based on the survey results, there was some significant interest in looking at some more regional stormwater planning countywide. So on August 28th, there was a presentation to the Dauphin County commissioners where they had reviewed those survey results, reviewed some of the issues in the county, and did a case study based on another county up north where they did regionalization of stormwater management and saved about 50-70%. So based on that information, the county had authorized Tri-County to move forward with a feasibility study to look at regional stormwater management across the county. The next steps will be some continued municipal outreach, the actual feasibility study, and then identify funding opportunities based on the results of that study. So more to come. That's the update right now.
Good. Thanks. Ian, and you had updated us this one that's earlier this afternoon, I guess. Where does the savings come from?
The savings comes from instead of each municipality doing their own MS4 and their own pollution reduction plan that's contained within the municipality borders. If you look at regionalization, you can normally get more bang for your buck by picking better project areas that will give you more sediment reduction for your MS4 credit. And by combining projects and doing larger projects, you have better scale and then overall savings for all the municipalities that participate.
Right. Interesting. So this is a good thing.
We've looked across the state at this, and the municipalities that have decided to join together to regionalize are seeing some significant savings.
And so this wouldn't affect our, in other words, we'd still have our stormwater program. It's just that this would give us the ability to look a little higher level at planning.
Yeah, that's what the feasibility study would tell you. Some of the initial looks at it would, you know, you would have the option to keep your stormwater fee as is. The county may participate in some public education or some higher level projects, but certainly the option would always fall down to the municipality whether they wanted to join or stay separate, again, based on the study results.
Great. Thank you. Chuck?
We're reaching the end of our contract with Urban Design Associates with the look that they're taking at the downtown. That information is being incorporated into our zoning ordinance, which hopefully we'll present to the board at least as a first draft about October 8th. Also here with us tonight is Dave Habig, our intern that we have down in community development, who has been fitting in incredibly well. He whatever tasks he's given, he executes with great care and accuracy. Janelle's toughening him up, and he'll be graduating this December with a Bachelor of Arts degree in geography. You may also find David at Iron Hill Brewery, where he acts as a server. He's on the other side of the bar from us. So we're glad to have him downstairs.
Excellent. Welcome. Clark.
There we go. Just a note, and this was mentioned this morning in the transportation meeting as well, but we are going to be scheduling our next Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Plan meeting for that committee that's involved. So that plan is moving forward. We're anticipating that at that meeting, HRG will be sharing some preliminary solutions that they've identified for the region. That plan does look into Hummelstown Borough and parts of Londonderry Township as well. So I know that came up earlier. Also, just a note, we have Chocktoberfest on the downtown Hershey side. Chocktoberfest is scheduled for October 19th. This is our largest one-day event. We're getting great traction on Facebook. We're looking forward to announcing our event lineup this week. As always, we need volunteers to make this event successful. So if anyone's available to come out and give a hand for a couple hours, you'll get a free t-shirt, and then you can enjoy the event afterwards. So join us. That's all.
How many interested is Facebook up to?
28,000.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah. We're pleased with that.
Very good. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, approval of accounts payable for $926,858.29 and payroll of $336,285.30. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zmuda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And then those are approved. Next item on our agenda is our second visitor and public comments. Any members of the public are welcome to approach the microphone.
Well, I'll ask the question again. I ask if there's anybody who can comment on any of the status since the last 2 weeks regarding the entertainment tax. If there's no comment, I assume nothing's been done. I'd like to ask each one of you, do you think we need to focus on this? Do you think it's important enough that we look at asking them to contribute? Or you have no interest? I'd like you to comment if you would, please. You comment to other people, please comment to my question.
Well, Mr. Gamble, it is visitor public comment, so the thought is that it's one way. If any of the board members feel inclined to do that, they're welcome to. I don't know of any activity since the last time you asked.
So there's none has taken place at all.
Is there any other visitor public comment?
One question. Is the PFM presentation going to be made available on the net under thirdtownship.org, or is it already available?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's not right now, but we can certainly make it available.
I'd appreciate that. And the comment I have is the gray line on that. It's what I would call the baseline. It's if there was no pool, I realize there's going to be a pool, but that shows a constant decrease. Am I correct in assuming that such emergencies that will greatly affect public works and the police department and Mr. Clark and Chief Warner may need financial assistance for their departments on increases as a result of traffic, increased needs on infrastructure, and I don't believe such things as floods due to hurricanes and sinkholes as we've seen past tense in Derry Township and most recently in adjacent communities. Correct me if I'm wrong, those are not included in that gray line. These are significant costs and considerations, and a better assumption that a decreasing gray line would be a constant to provide for the needs of public works and the police department on such emergencies, and those contingencies should be accounted for in strategic planning. Furthermore, in the development of the future plans and costs and development in this township, I see it as a fault if you do not consider the increased needs of public works and the police department. Particularly, I just named those because those are more than I'm familiar with as a past tense engineer, that these are needs that should be addressed in development of future plans and future strategic planning. I thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Trout. I'm happy to be able to say that we do ask our department heads to project out many years, and they've done that, and we have that figured into the capital plan that Ben brings before us every time. So.
But my comment is you have not counted in for hurricanes, floods, or sinkholes. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct. We do have extra borrowing capacity for those things going forward.
But that will affect your grade line.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Trout.
Dane Iron, 2321 Raleigh Road, Humblestown. In the past, we've heard that the cost of the rec center at $33 million is going to push us to 90% of your lending capacity. Does the $40 million setting the capacity ordinance, does that have to stay within the lending limit? Or where does that fall?
Yes,
it does.
So how close does the $40 million take us to the limit?
There's still some significant space. I don't have the number right here. There's still a couple million, at least a couple million dollars left in the limit. And remember, as soon as we actually issue the debt,
sure, it comes
that
down.
Number is going to come down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The $1.5 million of the pension liability payment, does that reduce our current huge liability, or does that just keep the status quo?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand the question. The million that we are liable for in 2020.
That is the minimum requirement that will basically do nothing in reducing the liability on the balance sheet.
The liability, we have an unfunded liability.
Yes, that unfunded liability.
It keeps it and brings
it where it's at.
It helps to reduce
it. It does reduce it.
Yes,
some.
It does.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing no more, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Moore, second by Mr. Smith. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thanks for coming.